Heavenly Father, again, we come to you and we thank you for this precious book. We're fixing to open the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for this place to come and for this day set aside to honor mothers. And I pray you'd help with the message, help this frail body and these frail lips to say the words that need to be said, led by the Holy Spirit of God through your precious Word to be made, that we might be blessed in this service. And also, Lord, know how much you love us as individuals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 3. This being Mother's Day, always those stories I read where there's a small boy. He went to a Boy Scouts camp. And I don't know, maybe he was 6, 7, 8 year old, something like that. And the director saw he had an umbrella that was rolled up in his bedroll. And he said, son, he said, I don't understand this. What do you got an umbrella rolled up in your bedroll for coming to camp? Don't you know we don't need such a thing as that here at camp? And he said, sir, evidently you don't have a real mother. Well, real mothers, I'm going to speak about this morning, a real mother's love. Also heard what a young man that had just been married, he and his wife had been married about less than a year, and he came home from work one day and found out she was crying. And he said, well, what happened? And she said to him, your mother insulted me. He said, well, how could my mother insult you? She lives hundreds of miles away. She said, I got a letter. You got a letter from him this morning. And she sent it to you. And she said, that letter, I looked at it, I opened it. And he said, well, how in the world could that make my mother insult you? Well, she said, when I opened it up, it had P.S. Dear Allison, don't forget to tell Peter about this letter, amen. Well, anyhow, a real mother's love. I want you to think with me a minute as we read verse 16 down to verse 28 real fast like. I want you to visualize in your mind, if possible, as near as you can, what is going on here. Because I've found this out in times, it becomes more real to me if I can visualize in my mind what I'm reading and what I'm studying and try to put it together. It makes me identify with it a little bit better, to understand it a little bit better. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But this is a story, and it goes like this. It says, then came there two women that were harlots. And as I read this particular story, he said, unto the king, and stood before him. Now this is King Solomon. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. Now take note, this is not the this is an unusual situation he's talking about here. These are not the ordinary homes. This is two harlots. This is prostitutes. That means, as far as we know, they're not married. That means they were not living a life of holiness. That means they were selling their bodies. That means men were paying them for their services. And setting forth in this story, by the way, I believe this is an actual story. In this story, setting forth that there was children involved. And watch what he said at this time. And she said, and it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, he said, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There were no stranger with us in the house, say we two in the house. We're the only two that lived there. And then it said, and this woman child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son, which was beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid at her bosom, and laid her dead son at my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. And when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Now, King Solomon's in a mess, isn't it? If he's going to give good justice here, how would he do it? He don't know which one I'm telling the truth, not telling the truth at this time. But then he says, then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child into two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child." And an old wife said, but the other one said, "Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Then the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. I want to speak to you this morning a few minutes on a real mother's love. And this amazes me that God uses this unusual story here to even put it in the Bible under these circumstances. This story is not a usual Mother's Day story, and yet it is a Mother's Day story. These two ladies are mothers, aren't they? Come on now, help out a little bit. So you won't be lost back there, and you'll be thinking something I started to say, and then get to the end, miss what I'm going to say. Because these two ladies were mothers, but they certainly were not, like most people would think, a very usual mother. So this is about two mothers who came before King Solomon. They were living together. They were two prostitutes. They were harlots at this time. You know, it amazes me how God does things at times to tell us spiritual truths. And he's going to tell us something here that really is a blessing. One lady said that she had a baby, and 3 days later, a child was born to her. And then no one lived in the house with them to the other lady that was born. And during the night, the lady's son died because of her laying on him. That is sometime during the night, before midnight, evidently, she turned over on the child and smothered to death. And then the Bible says at midnight, she got up and she saw the child was dead, and she replaced that. And during the night, she took my son, this lady said to King Solomon, took my son from my side while I was asleep. She put my son by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. And when I got up to nurse my son, he was dead. And when I began to look at him closely, I saw that he was not the son that I had brought home or had born. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. Then the other woman said, "No, the living son is my son. The dead one is yours." And they argued back and forth. And you see in verse 22. Verse 23, Solomon said this, "You say that your son's alive and your son is dead." Yes. "But you say your son's alive and your son is dead." And here he is, both telling, one telling the truth and one telling a lie. How would he know the difference? Then he says to the opposite, "Bring me a sword." And one of his men came, brought a sword to him. And he said, "Cut the living child in two pieces and give half of it to her and half of it to her." And then the woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son. And she said to the king, Please, my Lord, give her the living baby. Do not kill him." And Solomon said to the other woman, as she came back with words and arguing, "Cut him to two, neither I have one, will you have him, either one." And Solomon said, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." And then Israel was amazed, the Bible says, in verse 29, when they saw the wisdom that God had given Solomon to administer justice in this situation. But wait a minute. Over just a few verses before this, the event took place. One night in Gibeon, Solomon had a dream. And God came to him in that dream, if you look with me in verse 5, and he said, "Ask what I shall give to thee." And now paraphrase through this quickly as you follow me for the sake of time. Verse 2 said, "And Solomon said, that thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, and according as he had walked and so forth, you showed favor to him." Verse 7, the latter part of that verse says, "Thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day," and he is that son. And he said in verse 7, "O Lord my God, thou hast made my servant king instead of David my father," or "made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." Now he said, as far as as a young man, he said, "But my mind is a little like a little child when it comes to govern such a great people as this." And then in verse 9, he said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge thee, this thy great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, God always gives you more when you ask the right thing than you deserve. And God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. And so he said, so there was none like thee before, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I'm also, and watch what he says. Now get the picture. Solomon asked, give me this wisdom. My mind as a child cannot begin to govern these people. Give me wisdom that I can handle and do with the affairs of this great people that you allow me to become king over. And then God says, because of what Solomon asked for, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. He said, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So I'm understanding now, the very next thing we see happening is when this event comes that these two ladies are brought before the king at this particular time. Israel was a maid. This story proves that wisdom comes from God. And God gives wisdom that we may apply when we have understanding correctly in life. God used this incident to show that he had given Solomon the wisdom that was needed to, he had requested his king to do what he had requested as, and we see that, and I just read to you 1 Kings chapter 3, down a few verses at that time. Now it's interesting enough as I see this, because what an unusual source. I don't think anybody else who said they're religious anyway would use someone like this example to try to teach such a spiritual truth as this. But what an unusual source for God to provide morals, a motherhood like this. And I want to give you three morals of motherhood that he shows here. Number one is simply this. He shows us that there's no such a thing as a perfect mother. They cannot be. Now, you and I are saved, have a perfect individual in us. We've been born again, the new creation. Certainly, he's given us the nature of God. But on the other hand, he has to be filtrated through this flesh. And so we know that none of us walk a perfect life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of our life. Some things that Satan's found to trick us, to trap us, and to cause us to be defeated at times. But here, this is unusual because I don't want to discourage any mothers today, ladies and gentlemen, but I want to build you up. But God uses these two ladies that none of us even thought about using. You say amen, all me one. It doesn't make no difference. Because I guarantee you that not a religious person in you think of would use something like this to teach such a moral, teach morals. Why? Why would he use someone immoral to teach morals? God does things sometimes that really astonishes, but he always does it because he gets truth across to us to understand how we are. Mothers need to be treated with tenderness. No one is more caring and more conscientious today than mothers, and certainly most mothers. Did you know now both mothers in this story were prostitutes? They had babies out of wedlock in sinful circumstances, and that grabs you your attention to pay to this story because it's unusual for something like this, for religious service. Question here, why did Solomon even take the time to worry about these mothers? Why would he take a busy man like he would have been to govern the nation of Israel? They and the sinful men who paid for their service were living outside of God's will. And yet he uses this to teach something about morals. Now, when you see this, yet Solomon was concerned about these two women. I thought, why would he be concerned about these two women? Because God is concerned about these two women. And God uses men and women together at times at different places to show his love towards someone that may listen when he gives us that opportunity to speak to them. He shows you that God was concerned about them as individuals. Now, we would all agree that the church should stand for more moral purity. And you know that's preached from this pulpit. But on the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, but should not the church also stand for forgiveness and restoration? As a matter of fact, we see Paul telling us that there's something to do, that we should try to restore people at times. And here's a way that we see that gives us a little bit of understanding about that. And we agree that we should show that purity. But these ladies were not living up to God's ideas. And yet God still loved them. If any of us had to wait for God to love us based on our performance, we would all be out of luck because none of us did performance enough for God to even love us. But on the other hand, because he did love us, look what he did. He came and made a way that we could be called children of God, be born into the family of God, and know Him as Savior. And He's teaching us there's a lifestyle here in turn that we should be that live in others to the place that people see God's love with others, not to forsake truth, but to tell truth, even in adverse circumstances. And so here, they have overlooked any of the faults. When you think about what's happened at this particular time, if there's anyone in whom we should be willing to overlook their faults, it should be mothers. Why? Because mothers have overlooked our faults for many years. There's not a one in here that I can't say, and you can't say that God, you had a mother that didn't ever overlook your, that did not overlook your faults. We all had that sometime or another in our life. And may those living now sometimes even do that. So life is too short, and God is too good to go around with a grudge all the time. The second mark of a mother, not on the first, is there is no such thing as a perfect mother, and yet on the other hand, God still uses us when we walk before. Aren't you glad that God has given 1 John 1:9 that we can confess our sins, and He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? That gives us a plateau to work on at times. When we are in despair about something or can't make a decision about something, we know that we can get clean before God, even as a child of God, to make a better decision we would if we were out of the fellowship with God. And so here, we see that there's such thing as a perfect mother, but at the same time, there's such thing as a mother can walk with God and know how to be clean before God and know what the example is to set for their children and their husband down through the ages. The second thing I want you to notice about this Mara, God has answered for mother's problems. A complete stress-free motherhood does not exist. Is that not right, ladies? You don't find hardly any time that's not stressful as a mother. Now, thank God there's some enjoyable times, but it's very stressful. I mean, from birth pains, 9 months, to growth pains, to rest, to empty the nest and see a child grow up and now leave home, to see grandchildren, to see great-grandchildren. By the way, a mother never gets away from their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'll tell you, there's more relationship many times in that avenue than a dad. There's something about what mother teaches that women know they need to help them raise their families, especially if it's a godly mother. Because a godly mother will have the best for that family. And so this is not mentioned to discourage mothers, but for there's good news. God is willing and able to assist moms with any problem they have, encountering anything that they may face. And here He gave Solomon wisdom for that purpose, to show us that even in this situation, He could fulfill a promise to Solomon that He made to Solomon, because Solomon requested the right thing when God asked him, ask what it is you'd like to have. So God loved these two prostitute mothers, no doubt about it. And He loved that child, no doubt about it. As far as I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, I believe I can prove, as much so for me to believe, that the first child that the mother laid on died went on to be with God, or at least where spirits went to at that time. But the other one had his life to live. I'd love to know exactly what happened, wouldn't you? An amazing thing how God preserved his life, even the fact of using Solomon to have wisdom to do and decide something that he did not know, and yet what God gave him wisdom to do, gave the right mother and had the child to raise, mother to raise that child. And so God can guide him. God guided her, I'm sure, when she said, no, don't kill, my Lord, don't kill the child. Go ahead and give it to her. See, a sincere mother of a child would rather see the child live with someone than not live at all. And so at that time, wisdom came, and God gave him that wisdom. God guides single mothers. God guides adopted mothers. God moms. God guides stepmothers. God guides all kinds of mothers when they have children, if they seek for His face. And He has a special situation and guides them in all kinds of those situations. And so I see that there is no perfect mother as we see here, because these two were not, and yet God did a marvelous thing here, and yet God has set forth where a mother fits a place in the home that in turn she can be an instrument of God in raising that child to fear God and to become a child of God one day. And then God has special answers for mother's problems. Then the third thing I want you to notice, there's nothing like a mother's love, especially a godly mother's love. I'm telling you, folks, if you miss that, maybe in this day we miss it because there's more separation in mothers doing things than what they did years ago. But there's nothing in this world any closer prophet to God's love than a mother's love, if a mother really, truly loves their family and loves their children. The real mother in this story would rather see another woman raise her child than see it dead. Now, folks, that's love. That's love. You see, there's enough suffrage in all of us to say, if that be the case, just let nobody raise it. If you're not going to let me raise it, I don't want nobody to raise it. No, sir. A real mother's love says, hey, that's my child. Came from my womb. I cared him 9 months. And now, if it means that he can't live with me, let him live with her. That's only God can give a mother that type of love. Good mothers will give up some things to be good mothers. Personal sacrifice by carrying a child around in their womb for 9 months, ladies and gentlemen, is not an easy thing. Shake my head, ladies, if you don't want to say amen. Amen. It's not an easy thing. It always amazes me. No mother's child could ever get over the sacrifice that she gives for them. I mean, she feeds them. She nourishes them while they're in the womb. She protects us in their own body. Before we ever saw the light of day, ladies and gentlemen, she protects us. No one else ever loved me enough to carry me around for 9 months but my mother. After you're born, she don't carry you around all the time. They put you down some, don't you? A lot of times you stay in your crib or in your playpen. But during 9 months, you're there the whole time. Now, I read sort of a special here recently that some scientists were doing. They found out a way they could hook up electrodes to men and let them know what labor pains were like. And so two wives who just had a baby asked their husband to submit to this. I don't know if you ever saw this or not. And they agreed to do it. And it showed what went on. And I'm going to tell you what's true. Those men said it's the worst thing they'd ever seen in their life. Now, I don't know what kind. They said just like labor pains were. And they went in the hospital, and they took the time the last little few hours before the baby was born, when you begin to have those regular good feelings, you know. And they said this, these guys sat down, this is going to be just great. They hooked them up. And by the time, they didn't know when they're going to come, but the people in charge of this, by the time they have labor pain, they shot them. Boy, they had a fit. Oh, they thought they were doing worse than labor pain. They said, no, in fact, labor pains are probably worse than this. And they shot them again. And it got to the place after a while, they about quit. And then they said, this goes up to the time the baby's born. And then they really shot it. And when they got through, they said, I don't see how to stand it. Ladies and gentlemen, you know something? Men couldn't stand it, I don't believe. He didn't make us that way. Isn't it amazing, though, that God made women special? And then these people going around this day trying to talk about doing away with have same-sex marriage and everything. Folks, I can't understand that. God made us special. You need both man and a woman. And I'll tell you this, any man, the way God made us, there's no way in this world that we'd ever want to have labor pains. Most of you have pain just looking at something. Amen? You heard me say, I have that. I'm looking at a needle. Someone walks through the room, I think I'm going to get it. It scares me to death. But on the other hand, it is something when you go through the pain of labor. I'll tell you what. Did you ever see that special? If you didn't, they could not stand this. And God gave mother this stress. And mothers, it's unbearable when you're about in it. But in it, once when God says, once you go through the labor pains and the child is born, you forget because of the blessing. Now, maybe that has something to do with this. The men can only go to that point and never see the blessing. They just had to react to the pain of that thing. But women see the blessing. And God says, no matter what you go through, when it's through, he gives a peace somehow or another to see the wonderful life that God created in his image through natural birth. Mothers, today we honor you for all the giving that you do. This reminds us of God's sacrificial giving, his son, Jesus Christ, for a world of wayward people. And I pray that God's love not go unnoticed and not go unappreciated today. We respond to the loving God who created motherhood for us in this life and thank God for it. And I've realized this, whether we realize it or not. Now, I heard this many years ago, and I believe it's so, though sometimes it may not seem to us as men. But there's ever been a time that a woman goes to death doors in their life before they actually go die is when they deliver a baby. There are pains that's there that said it's almost unbearable. And yet God gives them that ability to do that. So wise is the mother who will pray and work to the end that their children can see Jesus in their actions, in their lives, in their attitudes, in their accomplishments, manifested in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I think about the story I read back a few years ago. This is a true story. It's by a lady by the name of Susan Shelley. And here's what she said. It's a true story. And this is how it goes. It said, this mother, Shelley, had a pregnancy, expecting a little boy, and something went wrong in her fifth month of pregnancy. And the boy, child, did not at that time develop completely. And the doctor said to her at this time, Miss Shelley, I want you to know this. The conditions here are incompatible for life. If this son is born, he'll never live because he can't live in the situation he's in now. And he said, even if there's no miscarriage, the child is born, he would have not long to live after birth. The best thing to do was abort this child. She got along with the Lord. She was a Christian lady, and she began to pray. And here's what she determined. She said this, if the only opportunity I have to know my child is in my womb, I will not cut that time short. If this world in my womb is all that my son gets to know, I want him to be as safe as I can make it for him. He'll come into this world, but I still want him to be as safe as he can. He may not understand a lot about this world, but this mother is not going to take the side to abort him. He'll come through and let him experience what he can experience till God sees fit to take him home. And what a godly mother who cares more of her son in her womb than in herself in life. And I say to you as you look, a mother is the hub of everything that turns in the home. She's like a teacher teaching the word of God, the ways of God and the works of God. She's like a nurse that looks after the patients with great diligent care. And the good nurse is a very unselfish person, and so are good mothers. She is like a counselor with some of the best advice that a young person will ever receive. Even death will never rob you of precious memories that you had with your mother. Probably many times more so with the dad. Why should anyone miss precious memories while mothers are alive? Why should anyone not care if they have a mother that know that loved them? A mother is like a friend. It's the best friend that you ever have in this world. So she is to be Christ-like, yet she is not perfect. Many people have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the mother. Her testimony this morning, her brother Sunday school, about a mother leading her son to the Lord, and also others. Many people have to come to know the Lord, to free pardon and forgiveness of sin, because they have a godly mother. Many mothers have kept their families together after a sorry dad left them alone, struggling here in this life, and caused them the most miserable place to ever be when the home should be the best beautiful place I've ever been. You heard me say many times, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing in this world any better than a Christian home. When you're in this ungodly world, 8 out of 10, 12 hours, 15 hours a day, and hear all the ungodly mess that you hear, that you can know when I get home and shut those doors out, and I've said it one time, I've said it 100 times, and shut that world out and center around God and know there's a place where you can have harmony and love and that which in turn will cause you to be a better person than what you just got in that world out there. And that's what mothers can help do and do help do in this life. Many mothers have kept their families together. God gave us a real story here in the Bible, here about Solomon, to show a real mother's love using two prostitutes, which is so unusual in this time, who were mothers. And in turn brought us a story of wisdom, how God took something that would be, I would think, if we could see in heaven one day, I would think that probably this is such a miraculous thing for this young man. I'd love to know, see him one day, and I don't know. We don't have another record about him, just the fact this happened. But there's a lot of patience that God did here for this son and for this mother. And don't you know that it made her feel good when God's man, Solomon, king of Israel, said, it's your son. Don't you know that she ever did try her best to do what was right? She did for this son. Because God gave her her son back. Amen? Amen? He gave her son back. And I say to you, what a day. Before King Solomon here, this unusual situation, we had a wonderful story of a real mother's love. And mothers, I pray today that you have a great, wonderful day. Stand to your feet, please. My Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the love of God and how it amazes me you bring such wonderful truth through unusual circumstances, letting us see that God sees things in better all the way around from beginning to end than what we see. There's not a person here probably with thinking from a religious standpoint, these are the least two people would use. Get somebody else who seemed to be living more like, quote, we say Christians ought to live, or godly people ought to live. And yet, our Heavenly Father, sometimes you see things in the hearts of people that we can't see. Lord, it's easy to put on the front outside. It's easy to put on the style. It's easy to make ourselves seem to be something that we're not, but you see the heart. Here, you brought something out of the worst situations in life where the average person wouldn't even touch. And in the heart of this mother, we see a real mother's love for her child. And I believe with all my heart it gives some characteristics about Mars in life when it comes to a mother's real love. And Lord, if this mother would be this way and be who she is, then we can see how much more a godly mother would be in a home around that which the Word of God is taught, around that which is love is felt, and in turn, when the hurts come to a child, they can come to the mother and know more than likely she's the first one they go to because they know that is the one who is there most of the time for them. It's not they don't love dad. Dad plays in a different part. But on the other hand, the mother gave life to a child. And there's something about that connection that makes us love our mothers. And our brother said this morning, when your mother's gone, makes you understand more. And I thank God for my mother, but she's been dead now. I've never for about 4 years now. She went on to be the Lord. And Lord, I do miss her. I just amazing what happens once death comes. How you go back and you look and you said, I could have done more. I should have done more. And it reminds us sometimes just what our mother went through that we're in here. What she went through to raise us, to get us to on her own, what she goes through even now when it comes to children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Lord, I pray you'd give them a peace that passes understanding. And I pray you'd give a love to someone today, maybe where it's been broken for some reason or another, to reconcile it back together in a way where in turn there can be harmony. Lord, thank you today for mothers. And as we come to this service today, may we leave rejoicing in the fact that God loved these two women as he loved us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ shed his blood for us. And Lord, that simply means that God loved us like he loved these two women. And I don't know whether these two got saved or not. I don't know whether they followed the Lord and the Old Testament system or not. But I know this. We can know what it is to be a children of God. Help someone today to see their need. And there's a mother listening here in this auditorium or by radio in just a few minutes as this service is played back. Or you stream right now. Anywhere in the world, fathers and mothers there, may they know how much you love them. And may they, if they don't know you as Savior, realize what they could do or what God could do through them, becoming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Help someone today to see their need and help some child to see their need and know God has brought mother, daughter, mother, son together to meet that need in this life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Now, while your heads bow for just a moment, two things I want to ask you, and then we're going home, and you'll get out a little bit early. First of all, do you know Christ as Savior? If you don't know him as Savior, are you concerned enough to say, preacher, please remember me in prayer. I'm going to lift my hand and ask you to pray for me. Is there one like that anywhere? I assume then if you don't lift your hand, you know you're saved. Because that's the most important thing in life. What shall a man profit, gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange of his soul? Well, that's between you and the Lord then. On the other hand, let me ask you this. Is there someone here today, no one looking but you and I and God? Say, preacher, I thank God for a message on mothers. I know my mother is a good woman. And I just want to ask you to pray for me to love her more. Or whatever it may be. Maybe there's something there. I don't know. But you want to ask God to help you, whatever that is. I don't need to know. God knows, and God can help you solve any problems you have. You say, preacher, just remember your prayer. Amen, amen. Just between thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Someone else? God bless you. Someone else? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You see, sometimes God can do more when we recognize it than just not recognize it. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the message, unusual message, in developing this, Lord. And when I approached this start with, I thought to myself, how in the world God used something like this? I mean, most people have frowned at this, especially religious, egotistical people. But yet God shows us there's so much he can use if we'll just listen. It gets hold of us. This grabs us when we see this. And we may wonder why. And then when we finish looking at what God is doing, we see in him a marvelous God. He saw us one day lost and undone. He moved every mountain as possible to get us saved. Even in people like me, 3 years in a church, and Lord, just lost could be. Members of a church, just as lost as could be. And you move everything that's possible in the way to get us to see our need. Help someone that way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.